near the end of the Old Testament. Everybody here knows the story of Jonah. Guarantee it. Knows the story of Jonah. Today, I want to say a few things about it and give you a few thoughts. This is not a long, well-prepared sermon at all, but I do believe it'll help you if you'll listen to me. One little truth I want to show you. Jonah chapter number 4. And the man Jonah was a character. There's no doubt about it. Everybody knows the story of Jonah being swallowed by the whale, the great fish. A whale is a fish according to the Bible. Just because science has given it a different definition means absolutely nothing. If you don't think a whale's a fish, go out there and watch them. They swim through the water and they sure look like a big fish. I know that's about mammals and all that stuff, but the Bible definition is always correct. Jonah chapter number 4, and let's look at this chapter here just for a minute. Now let me give you just a little thought here before I read this scripture. Here's a simple outline of the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, Jonah run from God. Jonah chapter 2, Jonah runs to God. Jonah chapter 3, Jonah runs with God. Jonah chapter 4, Jonah runs ahead of God. Let me explain that. Chapter 1, Jonah's going down through here like this. The Lord said, "Hey boy, you want to preach a revival?" He said, "I sure do. Where's it at? First Baptist of Jerusalem?" He said, "No, sir. Down yonder, Nineveh." Well, Jonah, being a Jew, did not like Ninevites. He didn't want to mess with them. He didn't want to fool with them. And he says, "I ain't going. I'm going on a cruise." And the Lord said, "Well, you better go do what I told you to do." He said, "I'm not going to do it." So he rebels. And he runs from God. The will of God wanted him to preach. He went this way. Now, then the Bible said that he went down to Joppa. And he went down to the ship. And then he went down in the ship. And then he went down in the sides of the ship. And then he laid down. Down, 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 down. Only one way a person goes when they leave the will of God. Down. Right? Isn't that amazing how stuff like that's in the Bible? It said he went down, 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 and down. If you leave the will of God for your life, I can tell you where your life's going. Down. Oh, you may prosper for a while. You may think you're doing pretty good for a little while. You're going down, friend. If you're saved and run from God, you're going down. Every way you can imagine. You might go up financially, but you'll go down every other way. And that'd be make you more miserable. So Jonah runs from God. In chapter 2, Jonah runs back to God. So the Lord's over here, and he gets on this ship, and the Lord said, "I ain't going to have this." And he goes, and this boat starts turning up like that. It's like he's on a cruise, and there comes the wind, and the boat's going like this. Have you ever been on a boat? I've been on one time, scared me to death, where it goes less like this, where you can look there and see the water. And then it goes, and you look there, and there's the water. I'm telling you, that's an awful feeling. I was on one like that one time, and Lord have mercy, it was the scariest feeling in the world. So there's out there, and he's about ready to go under, and everybody said, "Whose fault is this? Why did God send this storm? What in the world is happening here? Who's that guy laying over asleep? Get him up. We're going to try." And somebody kicked him and said, "Man, what's wrong with you? Wake up." And he got up and he said, they said, "Who are you?" He said, "My name is Jonah." They said, "What do you do for a living?" He said, "I'm a preacher." They said, "If you're a preacher, what are you doing laying down here asleep?" He said, "Tell you the truth, I'm running from God, and it's my fault that this is happening." That's what you call a preacher caused storm. That makes you think a lot of the mess we're in this country may lie in the pulpits of this country. That's another message. But anyway, he gets up and they said, "All right, man, if we're all going to drown, we're just going to throw you overboard." And he says, "All right, I reckon I'm going to have to go." So they grab him like this, hands, feet. One over there gets hands, feet. And Jonah's like this. And they say, one, two. Can you imagine? I mean, he's going out over the side of that thing like that. Oh, boy. I don't know why he waited so long to pray, do you? I'd have been praying right then. God help me. So he goes, and he hits that water, and as soon as he does, there's a whale swimming over here about an eighth of a mile away, and the Lord says, "Ain't you hungry?" And the whale says, "I sure am. I'd like to have me a good mess of man. I ain't been to the man camp in 6 months. I get me some French fries and hush puppy." And about that time, the Lord said, "Navigate here a little bit. 2 degrees to the left." The whale goes like that. 8 degrees north. Boom, like that. God was talking to that fish. Isn't it funny how people don't do what God says, but animals do? We talk about how dumb animals do. When the Lord told a rooster to crow, when the Lord says dog to bark, when the Lord tells, I don't think the Lord told all them dogs to bark around my house, but I tell you, they do what God tells them to. People's the only thing dumb enough to disobey the Creator. Only people are that dumb because we think we're so smart. Well, long story short, and then I'm going to read this. Jonah says, "I'm in trouble." So the fish looks up, and there's them legs dangling like that. He opens his mouth. Can you imagine? You're swimming around in that ocean, and you look up, and all of a sudden everything went black, and you feel like you're on a real soft water slide going down. He thought he went to Carowinds or something, but it was warm. This water slide is warm. This blubber, he was sliding down in this blubber, wind up and he'll psh in this little pool in there, and it's pitch dark, and he's spinning around. He thought, "Good night. What in the world?" Can you imagine what's in a whale's stomach? You know, that's some of them babies. Them babies spit up. And you can tell somebody ain't never been around a baby. And I was like, they'll shake it. And you better not hold it up like that right there. It will decide to spit up. Run right down your face. And you know, when you spit up, that stuff. How can you eat cheesecake and chocolate candy and yeast rolls? And when you spit up, it tastes like battery acid. Well, it's that stuff that's inside you. Now, can you imagine what's in a whale? Can you imagine what is in a whale, people? What's in a whale? Lord have mercy. I mean, you could throw a nail in there and it'd eat it up. That's what Jonah was in. So Jonah gets down. At that day, he said, "Lord, get me out of here. I'm sorry." Jonah chapter 3, he runs to God. He comes preaching. It was a 3 days journey to Nineveh, and God got him there in 1 day. As I said, the old preacher said, God put him in overdrive, and he run. Somebody said, "Vroom," there he went, man. Around a 3 days journey in 1 day, and got to Nineveh and began to preach. So Jonah in chapter 3, there's 4 chapters, and chapter 3 is the only chapter he was right with God, 1/4 of the time. He was running down through there, and he was like, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Son, that old boy preached, and everybody in Nineveh got right, and the king got right, and the families got right, and mom and daddy's got right, and everybody hit the altar, and everybody got their heart right with God. They made the animals fast, wouldn't let the cows, dogs eat, nothing. I'm telling you, brother, they had a revival. And they said there was 120,000 people that didn't know their right hand from their left hand who got saved. Now that means one of the two things. These people were not mentally capable of knowing their right hand and left hand, or else they were little children. I assume that's talking about little children. Don't know. So that's a bunch of people. That could be as many as 1 million people got right with God. Billy Graham, Old Roberts, Benny Hinn, every one of them all put together have never had a revival like they had in Nineveh that day. 1 million people. Everybody got right with God. Listen, that was Jonah running with God. Now, look at Jonah chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. I'm going to show you something amazing about human nature. You ever learn why your kids are like this and why you're like this? Here it is. Look at Jonah chapter 4. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." He was mad because God didn't destroy them people. That's human nature. "You mean to tell me you made me come over here and preach this sermon, and I told him you was going to destroy them, and now suddenly I knowed you wouldn't do nothing?" And the Lord said, "Jonah, are you all right? Look at this. Look at verse number 4. And then said the Lord, do you be well to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in a shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd She's over there in the east. This is the hottest part of the world he lived in, nearly. Nearly the hottest place on earth. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Hold your finger there. Isn't that something? Here's Jonah sitting out here, and he said, I wish you'd kill them people. This made me look bad. I went and told him you was going to destroy them. You didn't. Me. What he's considered his feelings more important than the whole city. Is that human nature or what, people? Boy, ain't we all like that sometimes? Jonah said, how come you didn't kill them people? Just kill them. Wipe them off the face of the earth. And I'm burning up. It's 1,000 degrees out here. And the Lord had mercy on him, made this big old thing like an umbrella come on him. And he said, praise the Lord for this gourd. Thank you, Jesus. I love this gourd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this gourd. And then, look what the Lord did. Look here. This is funny. He said in verse number 7, God prepared a worm. Here comes a worm. And when the morning arose the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered. So worms got in the gourd and ate it, and his umbrella fell over. And then he gets mad again, the big baby. And he's more upset. Are you listening? He's more upset about losing his shadow and shade than he is all them people's souls in Nineveh. Now, if I didn't say nothing else and just let you go, that'd be something for you to think about. If I had a title in my sermon this morning, it's priorities. Priorities. How many times have you heard people say, well, he needs to get his priorities straight. He needs to get his priorities. Let me tell you what the Bible says about priorities. I'll tell you two verses of Scripture. One is from Matthew 6:33 that said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's one. And then there's another one, Colossians, I believe it says, Jesus may have the preeminence in all things. Jesus Christ is to be first in our lives. That's priorities. Lord have mercy. I think about priorities in our compassion. Now listen, I hear people talking about the victims of Hurricane Sandy up there in New York. Man, it's bad. Some of them places up there, they still may be without power. I don't know. Last I heard, some people still didn't have electricity. I mean, it'd be rough living up there in New York and it 20 degrees and vandals. And you know, I was preaching in Florida the other day. And there was a boy from Lakeland, Florida. Y'all, I don't know if it was on the news up here or not, but it was on the Tampa news down there where I was at. There was an electrician went up there that volunteered to help. There's all kinds of people went up there to help get power restored. And he was up there working and come down off a pole, and these thugs come out and just beat him up. Just beat that boy up for no reason at all. He wasn't but about 28 or 29. And they blacked his eye and had his eyes swelled up, put him in the hospital. And they were mad because they didn't get power. I mean, the man drove all the way up there from Florida, and they had worked like 36 hours, and they was mad at him for taking a break. And they beat the guy up, and he like killed him. And he said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I ain't never going up there to help them crazy nut Yankees in New York no more. That's the way human nature is. The human nature is we don't care what happens. We just want our little flesh to be happy and to be satisfied. I know about priorities. What if somebody asked you this morning, what's your priority? I'm all for helping people. When they stand out there and ring them little bells in front of Kmart and Walmart and all that, that's good. I'm not saying that stuff's bad. Trying to help people, that's okay. But listen, let me tell you something. That we in a church does more to help children than all of that outfit. Listen, if you have a hospital, when kids are burned and they go there and treat them, that's fine. That's wonderful. One of my kids got burned, I'd want them in a place like that. Nothing wrong with that. But the church is in the ministry of helping boys and girls find the Lord Jesus Christ and miss hell and not going to burn forever. And there's where our priorities ought to be. People wonder why we preach to be faithful. We wonder why we preach give. We wonder why we run them buses all over creation. Because I believe that the first thing is to get a person's soul saved and keep them out of hell. That ought to be first. That ought to be first. And the church said, amen. Amen, brother. That ought to be first. We let other things crowd in. I'm telling you, we go to places and everybody gets so excited about the kids doing this and that, and that's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But if we get our priorities straight, if we get half as excited over a kid getting saved as we are making straight A's, we'd be dangerous. That's it. Our priorities ought to be right this morning. Amen. I'm concerned about bullying. All these places, they got programs on bullying. How are we going to stop bullying? Bullying's in our schools. Now listen, you know that ain't right. And I know it ain't right. But you ain't never going to stop it, not in this world. I mean, we had bullies when I went to school. Nobody helped us. I was the second littlest guy in the class. But I buddied up with the biggest guy in the class. That's where you stop. Get you a friend that can beat them up. I don't know. We had bullies. There's always been bullies. We had this one guy. I'm telling you, he was big. His arms was that big around. And we wasn't like in the fifth and sixth grade. This guy looked like, on the first day, people come up and give him their apples. I mean, they thought he was a teacher. Big old guy, and he used to be so mean. He'd cuss. We'd play baseball out on the field, and everybody hated to see him coming. He'd just grab you and hit you in the head like that right there. And I think programs against that is wonderful. Wonderful. I'm all for it. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend my time. I'd rather spend my time getting the gospel to those same kids and telling them the greatest story ever told, where Jesus Christ was bullied, he was made fun of, he was crucified, he was killed, and he'll take you to a place where you ain't never going to have no problems again. There's the main thing. An old guy used to say it like this. He said, we ought to keep the main thing the main thing. If you don't hear nothing else I say this morning, remember this. We ought to keep the main thing the main thing. Preacher, I heard say the other day. He was visiting. He went to this house. Lady made him welcome. Very nice, fancy house. Said about that time, she had a little Pekingese dog. Little Pekingese. Who could stand one little smart aleck looking little things? Don't a Pekingese just look like a little snotty little thing? I mean, somebody in here might have one, nothing personal. Lord have mercy. What an excuse for a dog. I've done lost some church members right there, I bet you. But she had one of these little things. And it just come out there and stick its nose up like it's better than everybody. And she called it little Bootsy Bootsy. And little Bootsy Bootsy was not completely house trained. And the preacher was sitting there. Little Bootsy Bootsy proved to him that she was not house trained. And right there on that nice carpet. And so the woman gets up and she said, now Bootsy honey, you go outside and open the door for little Bootsy. And little Bootsy runs outside and she gets a rag and just starts wiping up like that. And she's talking to the pastor. And then little Bootsy comes to the door. And sorry excuse for a bark. Stand there like that. And little Bootsy, come on, baby. She picked that dog up. This woman, educated, enlightened, an American, picked that little dog up and kissed that dog in the mouth. I know we're living in a time where people do stuff like that. But my mom told me a dog is a dog. And if you kiss a dog in the mouth, I feel sorry for the dog. Listen, I'm telling you something. I've seen some I felt sorry for the dog. You say, well, not little Bootsy, she's cute. Now, you put little Bootsy down and watch where she'll put her mouth. You watch her and then tell me it's right to kiss a dog. You're sick. Well, little Bootsy wanted back in. So she goes over, opens the door. Come in, baby. He said they'd sitting there talking about 5 minutes. And her husband came home. And he come up to the screen door. He said, hey, coming in. She looks up and preacher, excuse me just a second. Take them shoes off! To her husband. Don't Oh, of course that's four of them shoes on. Little Bootsy had just... She won't let her husband wear his shoes on that carpet. That's priorities, isn't it? He's working. He's paying the bills. He bought that carpet. And he can't step on it. Well, what if he'd done what little Bootsy done on it? I'm telling you, we got a messed up country in there. Ain't we messed up? Lord have mercy, people. People are not. She didn't run. She didn't grab her husband. Hey, baby. What'd she have done her husband like that? She might have been a little happier. She'll kiss Bootsy and fuss at him. That's priorities. One lady called a preacher the other day. This is true. She called this preacher and she said, I was, he said, what's wrong with you? She said, my dog died. She said, preacher, just tell me, is he in heaven? She was torn all to pieces. Listen, these same people can ride by their neighbor's house with a wreath on the door where their neighbor died without God went to hell and never give it a second thought and torn all to pieces, afraid their dog didn't go to heaven. And it didn't.
That's right.
Dogs don't go to heaven unless they're saved, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, tithing church members. Dogs don't go to heaven or hell. They don't have a soul that lives forever. They have a spirit that goes to the ground. The God who gave it, their body goes to the grave and rots. It's amazing that we're more concerned with animals. People will pedigree their dog. They'll keep their dog locked up. They won't let their dog mess. If it's a German Shepherd, it only has to be a German Shepherd. If it's a Bulldog, it only has to be a Bulldog. No, sir, I'm going to keep my blood and let their daughter run around with anybody that comes down the road. Say amen right there. Jonah was more concerned about that gourd than he was that whole city. I wonder what makes you the happiest this morning. What makes you the happiest? I know ladies who push their girls to be a cheerleader. They're going to be a cheerleader. They're going to be a cheerleader. They've raised me how to be a cheerleader. I'm not saying it's wrong to be a cheerleader. I think the way they dress in most of them is wrong. I do. And that's the Bible. But I'm not saying it's wrong with them cheer. But they push them. They spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours and dollars on their kid being a cheerleader. Pay hundreds of dollars for them to go to cheerleading camp. And they get them up at 6:30 in the morning and they're doing exercises. And they say, girls, don't you eat fat. Don't you eat that. You got to stay skinny. And you got to stay in shape. And you got to do that. And they fuss at them and fuss at them and fuss at them. And you got to be, if you're going to be a good cheerleader, you're going to have to do this. If you're going to be a good cheerleader, you're going to have to do that. And the parents say, oh, I just hope she makes it. I hope she makes it. I'll pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I'll buy the uniforms. I'll buy the tennis shoes. Oh. And they'll make sure they're at every practice. Get your homework done. You got cheerleading practice. Let's go. I don't care if you do feel bad. You'll be all right after a while. But buddy, when it comes to church, don't even get them to house God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know their priorities are backward, folks. If you think cheerleading is more important than serving God, you got your priorities wrong. Or you go to a mighty boring dead church one. I'm telling you this morning, serving God is more important. Call me old-fashioned, write me off, say I'm old fogey, say old Brother Danny's, he's too overboard, he's too hard on people, whatever you want to. But the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, my girls, when they were growing up, I said, look, you can play sports, you can do, we can have all this fun, but when it's church time, it's church time. And if you don't teach your kids right, they'll grow up believing other things are more important. Sure will. They sure will. Brother Mike, our bus driver, Brother Mike's a school teacher. He works 5 days a week with kids. He works bus kids Saturday and Sunday. And he's working with them right now out there somewhere. I'm telling you, I mean, man, 5 days a week, public school kids, 2 days a week with the really bad ones. That's 7 days a week. And I was talking the other day, I was talking to Mr. T over here. We got basketball starting up here pretty soon. And they said something about Brother Mike. Man, I'm telling you, he's got so much on his plate. I don't know if he'll be able to come all the time or something like that. And I said, I'm going to have a talk with him. Mr. Bullock's here this morning. I'm glad to have him. He's going to work with us on that schedule, I hope. I said, Mike's going to have to get his priorities straight. Basketball's starting. That bus route's going to have to go. You laugh, but that's the way most people look at it. We think, oh, isn't that ridiculous? Yes, it sure is. It sure is. I was thinking the other day, I seen on the news where them people, Black Friday, Lord have mercy. It'd be like me standing there in my office waving a handful of $100 bills and saying, who wants it? Come get it. And everybody in here trying to get in that door. I mean, they was knocking people over, people laying on the floor crying, screaming. And I thought, man, this country would be in good shape if that many people was that early to the unemployment line tomorrow morning trying to get a job, as they was trying to get Walmart. We could put the country back to work, couldn't we? It's priorities. It's priorities. What about our money? Listen, I hope everybody in here gets rich. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I tell you what you better do. You better keep your priorities straight. And remember, the Lord's part comes right off the top. You won't mind a bit. You don't mind a bit keeping your kid out of school, take them on a trip somewhere, but you let them miss Sunday school. You think, I know people say, well, their Sunday school teachers aren't. Don't even start on me about qualified teachers if you put them in a public school. Don't even start on me talking about teachers if you'll put them in a public school where they have lesbians teaching them. Right. Openly promoted in many cases. Say amen right there. I've heard people say, I ain't putting my kid in that nursery. Don't even start. It's priorities, people. You got to get your priorities straight. Your priorities. They'll push. They'll shove. They'll do anything in the world. Now, Jonah had his priorities mixed up. He should have been shouting over that revival in Nineveh, but instead he was whining because his gourd fell. That's hilarious to us, but that's exactly the way we get sometimes. Every little thing ain't like we like it, so we're not happy. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord said put him first. I got a guy down here in Statesville not too long ago. This lady called me. She said, Brother Danny, I want you to pray for my daddy-in-law. He's in the hospital in Statesville. And she said, we tried to witness to him. She said, preachers used to go see him all the time. And you know what he told them? She said, every time a preacher would come and see him, he'd look at that preacher and he'd say, you'll see me in hell before you see me at that altar. And the preacher would say, man, don't that bother you talking like that? He said, look, I ain't giving up my liquor and my women. It don't matter what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. And it wasn't that many days after, and she called me and she said, he's in the hospital in Statesville. And I was gone, I think I was somewhere in South Carolina or Georgia or somewhere. I was off down south preaching. And she said, that man got up in the bed on his hands and knees like this. And he was screaming. And he was screaming, oh God, oh God, oh God, help me. Help. He was hurting so bad, he was screaming that God would help him. And that's the way he died. And you know what that fellow's problem was? He lived his whole life thinking this was more important. This is more important. This is more important. Me, what I want. But when it comes time to die, all that changes just like that. And you may be here this morning and you say, I don't care what he says. I'm going to do what I want to, go where I want to, spend my money where I want to. You can say that, but the day is going to come when you're going to say, he was right, he was right, he was right. I ought to put the Lord first. It's priorities. Priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, well, I want it. Yeah, okay. You're a brat. The Lord will bless you if you put him first. And then all these things will be added. I don't know what's wrong with us. We're not going to hell, people. What do we want? Won't God just have the best of this world and that one too? Listen, it's not going to hurt us to put him first. Put him first. Are you doing that? He'll bless you if you will. Let's stand by our head for prayer.